to someone next to you. We have any visitors from out of town? Anybody here visiting from out of town? Yes, where are you from? In the pink.
Montana.
Are you here on vacation? What do you do in Montana? Very good. Yes.
Alaska.
What's up with that? Huh? You're a skateboarder?
Yeah, well, Christ.
Really?
Yeah.
How long have you been skateboarding?
Since I was seven.
And where in Alaska are you from?
Anchorage.
What high school? Ladies are going wild, man. Ladies are going wild. What? Are y'all from Alaska?
Yeah.
Trying to hook you up, you know what I'm saying? And where are you going after you leave San Diego? So you're a good skateboarder.
I'm all right.
What high school did you go to in Anchorage?
I just graduated last year from Bartlett.
Bartlett High School. I spoke at Bartlett High School.
Really?
Yes.
Right on.
I've been to Anchorage. I didn't know what kind of people would be in Anchorage. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, you go places, you wonder what's going to be up here. And it's just like regular mix of people. What was ironic and I in Anchorage, Alaska, when I went there, have you ever been to the mall and seen the bear in the glass case?
Yeah.
It's like this, right? It's a pretty big bear. The head is like this big. Am I lying?
Yeah,
it's big. It's a grizzly bear. They say if you ever see a grizzly bear with your eyes, that your life is in danger. That's what I was told. And the guy said, I didn't believe him. So he said, go to the mall, and there's a bear in a glass case. It's about 10 feet tall, right? His nails are 9 feet, 9 inches long. Am I lying? Am I lying? And his head is like this big. He's like this. And you stand there, all the tourists standing like this. There's a hotel with a lion in the lobby. Do you know what the hotel is? It has a lion in the lobby.
I don't know
why. A couple last things about Anchorage, Alaska. I went there and I spoke at a school at 10 o'clock in the morning. Bartlett High School is one of them. Trajan Langdon, did he go to a high school up there?
You remember? I forgot where he graduated.
He was a basketball player.
Yeah, State.
He what?
State.
No, he went to Duke. Didn't he go to Duke?
Yeah.
He went to Duke.
Oh, Duke.
He went to Duke. Can I tell the story? I spoke at his high school as well. But anyway, in Anchorage, it was snow on the ground. Snow. Tell me if I'm telling the truth. Snow on the ground, and these kids were just coming out of the basketball practice with shorts on, walking home. Am I lying? Why is that?
Hey, I don't do it. I don't know.
But am I lying?
You ain't lying.
I ain't lying. And the last thing I'll tell you about Anchorage, Alaska, I went to school at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was still black at night outside. Because the sun wasn't up.
Yeah, only summertime it was sick. You know, the sun
doesn't
go down, and I like it.
It's sunny 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
you were born there?
Yeah, yes, sir.
You a military?
No, sir.
Anybody else here? Anybody else here? Yes, where are you from?
We're in Arizona.
Phoenix? Both of y'all? And what are y'all here for, other than to go to church? It's her birthday. So you came from Phoenix for her birthday?
Yeah, we wanted to go to California for her birthday. So a bunch of us from our church came.
What church?
Selma North, Scottsdale. It's actually Scottsdale Bible.
Scottsdale Bible?
Yeah.
Who's the pastor? You want to smack him? No, it used to be Daryl, right?
Yeah.
Do you know Rick Linneman?
Yeah.
Rick Linneman used to be your executive pastor. Everyone in Arizona talks for each other. I'm just observing. I'm just making an observation. Rick Linneman is our executive pastor right now. He used to work at your church for like 19 years.
So Steve Brown, right?
And Steve Brown. He teaches our boot camp class. That's right. Stealing all y'all's peoples. We're going to steal you too. You cannot go back. Anybody else here from out of town? Yes, ma'am. From where? Hi, Mom. Is your first time? Okay. We're going to have some fun tonight. You're going to have to participate. This is a full participation interactive service. What church do you go to, Mom? Good. Hopefully you have a good time. This will be like no church service you've ever been to. Because we're going to do a quiz today. Anybody else here visiting? Yes.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. What do you do here in San Diego, California? That's your girl? Good ahead, girl. How long has she been your girl?
Forever.
How old are you? And when did y'all meet?
Seventh grade.
Y'all gonna get married? God bless y'all. I don't even want to start nothing. That's pretty cool, though. Y'all been together a long time. That's pretty amazing. It really pretty amazing. Seventh grade. How did y'all, let me ask you a question. What's your name, man? How did y'all, in the seventh grade, like, what did you say? You don't know? Were y'all like boyfriend, girlfriend in seventh grade? Oh, just friends. How long y'all been kind of a couple? Okay, thank you very much. It was very nice talking to you. I won't embarrass you anymore. Just kind of make conversation. Anybody else? Ain't nobody raising their hand now. Yes? OC? Okay. What are you doing down here in San Diego? Are you from South Orange County or North Orange County? Huh? Oh, the South Orange County. Is that South?
No, it's North
County. Newport is North?
Yeah. Orange County, and then you've got LA.
No. There's South Orange County.
Yeah, South County. That's
not Newport. Oh, my bad. Excuse me. I'm not familiar with the OC, you know what I'm saying? Y'all are married? Very good. Is he treating you good? He is? Okay. Do y'all live there or here?
We live up there.
Okay. And you just visiting?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Have any problems? Just come on back. Let us know. Straighten them out.
Wyoming.
What do you do in Wyoming?
I work in a quilt store.
You work in a quilt store. Do we have quilt stores in San Diego? Huh? What is a quilt store? A quilt is like a blanket? So it's like a Bed Bath & Beyond type thing? That's not a quilt store? What do I know? I don't know anything. You know, help me out. What is a quilt store? You have quilts. I'm so sorry. Do we have quilt stores in San Diego?
Yeah.
What are they called? Cool stores. You get out of here. Name one. Name a cool store. Yardage. What's your name of your store?
Common Thread.
Common Thread. That's a nice name.
Works for us.
Huh?
Works for
us. It what?
It works for us.
It works for us. No, I like that name, Common Thread. Yeah. Okay. If I ever come to Wyoming, where in Wyoming are you?
Evanston.
Evanston. Okay.
And this is my nephew.
Oh. How you doing, nephew? You have little kids, don't you? Because they're up here with you. They were up here last, like, three of them or two?
Three.
Three, yep. I remember seeing them. No, I know about quilts. I'm only joshing with you.
Yeah, right.
I do want to quilt this. When you first said quilt, I thought of my mom making a quilt. So then I thought of that. And then is there stores with that? That's what I thought. Yeah, I know what a quilt is, but I just never knew of a quilt. And my wife would be, she's so embarrassed if she was here right now. Because I don't know if there's some things that I should know that I don't. Like where a quilt store would be. Because I would never go to one. Never in my life. Sometimes my wife will be, she's going out, and she'll say, I'm going out, and I'll say, you know, where are you going? And she says, why? You don't want to know. And I'll say, no, tell me. She'll tell me, and I'll go, I don't want to know. Because and she said I was going to a quilt store. I'd be like, "Why are you going there? You like working there?
I love it.
You do. Very good, very good. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's what you do when you have 7 months of winter.
7 months of winter.
Okay.
Ew. Winter's like 30 and below. 30, 40 below zero. I meant below 30 degrees. For 7 months?
No, 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 no. Maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
But how 7 months under 30 degrees?
Oh, yeah.
That's messed up. I might go to the quilt store then. Anybody else? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, did someone raise their hand? Oh, okay, I didn't see you. Go ahead, who? Charleston, South Carolina. What is in Charleston, South Carolina that I should know? Who? How cold is it right now? What's the weather? What's the weather? You're in church now. Is it humid there? Yes. Are there bugs there? Yes. And it is better than San Diego. Do you have a beach there? A beach like this? And what do? There? You're an environmental consultant. Who do you consult about the environment? God? You consult God? You're a consultant, so you give advice to people. So you give advice to God? Who do you consult? Okay. Give me an example. I mean, would Nike hire you? Very good. Very good. Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. Hilton. Okay. If I ever come to Hilton Head, see a girl walking along the beach taking samples, ask if she go to the Rock. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. What do you do in Las Vegas, young man? You what? For who? What position? Very good. Were you a quarterback? UNLV. Who do I know? Oh, do you know Ron Howard? He's coming to your school from Grossmont. He's a receiver. Yes. He says he is. Huh? Jeff Howard. You tell Jeff Howard that Miles, that's me, is watching him every day, okay? Tell Jeff Howard that. I like Jeff Howard. He's a good kid. He should be here right now. Anybody else? Did I say Ron Howard? Oh, that's Opie. Jeff Howard is no Opie. Anybody else? Okay, today's our quiz. How many of you have never been in a quiz? Okay, very good. Someone tell the person next to you what the quiz position is. Put your booty back in your seat. Sit up straight. Here's how the quiz works. I ask a question, I tell you the answer. I ask a question again, you tell me the answer back. It is an interactive quiz. It's not something you sit and listen and watch. It's something that you do, you're actively involved in. We're going to go over the book of Joshua in a very overview type thing. A lot of the information is redundant, repetitive, for a couple of reasons. One, we want to always start back at the beginning and kind of run up to where we are in the Bible. And also, there are people here who don't know anything, so we want to make sure we keep them up to speed. So bear with the information you already know. God's going to teach you something, okay? If anything, he's going to teach you a way to learn information in a fun and interactive way. You can do this with yourself. You can do this with people you know. And I want to encourage you to do that. Now, you learn more when you say it than when you listen. You learn more when you write than when you read. And you learn more when you do than when you watch. So if you sit around and you listen, you read, and you watch, you're not learning as good as you could if you said it, write it, and did it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to say it. At least we're going to say it. And when you say it, you're going to learn it better. It's going to be more imprinted in your brain. And when you leave here, it's going to be going in your brain. And if you just keep repeating it over and over again, you'll learn it. Now, your brain works faster than your brain. That means that part of your brain is a very, very complex, the most complex computer in the history of the planet Earth. No man ever and ever will and ever has made a computer nearly as complex and as sophisticated as your brain. Why? Because God made your brain. It didn't evolve from nothing. It was very, very geniusly designed. Your brain has 100,000 chemical reactions and decisions per second. All throughout your body, it's monitoring everything in your body, everything you hear, see, feel, digestive system, blah, blah, blah. Millions of things happen in your body every second. Your brain's monitoring all that. Now, so the reason I tell you that is because as I'm talking to you and asking you these questions, your brain is going to get it and know the answer before you can say it. So you're going to be thinking, what's the answer? And your brain's going to go, I already know it. Will you just say it? So your brain is going to work faster than you can think. Are you following me? It's like sometimes when you're scared, someone scares you, your brain will make you do this, increase your heart, make you sweat, adrenaline go through your body before you even know what happened. How do I know that? Because you'll do this. What happened? That's how I know. Why? Because there's a part of your brain that's already reacting and already turning on and off stuff in your body to prepare you to react before you even know what happened. Are you following me? So your brain works faster than your brain. So what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you a question, boom, 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 and I'm going to even ask you questions. I'm not going to say any words, and your brain will know the answer. Just say it. I will say mumbling, no words, and your brain will know the answer, and you say it like that. Okay, ready? Everyone sit up straight. Hands in the air, like waving like you don't care. Take a deep breath in. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
One more time, hands up in the air. In, out. Look at the person next to you. Tell me it looks silly. Hands up in the air. Deep breath in. In, Jesus.
Jesus.
Okay, the first five books of the Bible called the Torah. First five books of the Bible called the what?
Torah.
Say it again.
Torah.
Say it three times.
Torah.
First five books of the Bible are Genesis. Say it.
Genesis.
Say it.
Genesis.
Say it.
Genesis.
Say it.
Genesis.
Say it. Remember, there are people here who don't know this, so let's say it real slow for them. Say Genesis. Say Exodus, say Leviticus, say Numbers, say Deuteronomy. Okay, there's a timeline here. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Say book of beginnings. Say beginning. Exodus is exit from Egypt. Say exit from Egypt. Every time you see an exit sign, you think of exit from Egypt. You walk out of the Starbucks, you walk out of the movies, you go up through the exit sign. You are Moses, everybody else behind you is Israel, okay? Exodus is what from where? Leviticus, the book about holiness, a book about what?
Holiness.
Say holiness.
Holiness.
Holiness means set aside for a divine purpose. God wants you to be holy. He doesn't want to share you with anything or anybody. Doesn't mean you can't have people in your life you love, but he doesn't want to share you. What does that mean? He means he wants your undivided attention, and then you love them. You give them your attention, but you give it to them based on how he instructs you and empowers you. He doesn't want you to give him 2 hours and to 1 hour. He wants all your life, okay? And that's the best way to be a best wife and husband, and you, these young people who are married or getting married or whatever. Let me tell you something. I'm sorry. They ain't never going to come back here. The best way to do it is to do it God's way. So holiness is set aside for a divine purpose. Leviticus is a book about what? Starts with H?
Holiness.
Say it again.
Holiness.
Say it again.
Holiness.
Numbers, they left. Leviticus took place at a place called Mount what?
Sinai.
Very good. This is Sinai for sinuses. That's what this is all about. And then they walked in the wilderness, the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers is about three things. One is what?
Wandering.
Say it again.
Wandering.
Everyone say wandering.
Wandering.
Say numbering.
Numbering.
Say complaining. That's it. They walked around, and then they got to a place called the Plains of, this is Moab or Moabs, Moabs, place of Moabs, and Deuteronomy means second law. Say second law.
Second law.
Say second law.
Second law.
And they gave a second law because all the people that got the law the first time died. So they had to give them to them again. We'll talk later about why they died. Okay, so that's a little con. Now, key people in Genesis, three guys, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Say it again.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Say it backwards. Say it backwards.
Jacob, Isaac, Abraham.
Jacob's name was changed to
Israel.
Israel had how many sons?
12.
Everyone say 12.
12.
Say 12.
12.
Say 12. 12. 12.
12.
Say 12, 12. 12.
12.
Very good. There's 12 tribes. There's 12 disciples. There's 12 months in the year. There's 12 zodiac signs. Your zodiac sign is not a horoscope. It has nothing to do with your horoscope. Your zodiac sign is the gospel message coming out once a month, every 12 times a year. That's what it is. God gave Hebrew names to the stars. There's no pictures, and they have, there's one major picture and one major constellation, and then three little ones, and they all make a story, part of the story. God put it up there. The devil hijacked it and twisted it around and perverted it to make it what you read in the paper. It's garbage. It's a gospel message. God has coordinated. And so you have to understand, remember we talked about last week, good is things used in for their intended purpose. Evil is you using things opposite or distorting or perverting their intended purpose. The devil only can do evil. So he takes what God made and he perverts it. Sex is good as long as it's done in the context of a marriage. Everything else is sin, no matter how you do it. And what I mean by that, let me tell you specifically what I mean. Whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, we always say, well, the gay homosexual sin, but guess what? Heterosexual sin, sex sin also outside of marriage. That's what God tended it. So it's both sin. God said, I want it this way. And for many reasons, one of which it has spiritual implications about our union with Christ. Marriage is a metaphor for our relationship with Christ. Sex is a metaphor of two people becoming one. And it's a blood covenant. It's pretty deep. But I'm not going to get into that today. But it's all symbolic. Let me just say this. When a man and woman get married, the woman's technically supposed to be a virgin. And when they consummate the marriage, they have a breaking of a blood barrier. It's a blood covenant. When the bride of Christ, the church, is joined to Christ, it's a blood covenant. Sex is a blood covenant. It's a symbolic of your relationship with Christ. So anytime you do it outside of that context, you are defaming the metaphor of our relationship with Christ. It's deep. It's not just, well, I shouldn't have sex with somebody. It's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. Okay. Anytime you take what God created as good and you pervert it, that's evil. That's a whole other thing. I don't know how I got off on that. Everyone say say Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I know how I got to it. 12 tribes, 12 zodiac signs. Okay, this time I'm going crazy. And then you have five books. The sixth book. The sixth book is called what? Everyone say Joshua.
Joshua.
Say Joshua.
Joshua.
The next 12 books are the historical books. The first historical book is the book of Joshua. Joshua, they are now in the plains of Moab in the fifth book, and they cross over to Jordan to go into the promised land. The guy who led them into the promised land is named Joshua. Say Joshua.
Joshua.
And so we're going to learn a little bit about Joshua. Now, every time throughout your life, God's going to bring people into your life that you like, you don't like, you're indifferent to, who God's going to use to shape you into the person he wants you to be. Everybody in your life right now, circumstances, pain, you're going through, frustrations, is designed to shape you into the person God wants you to be. Somehow, he can use that as long as you remain obedient to him in every situation, okay? Matter of fact, I remember when I was in Anchorage, I was not happy. Not because of the Anchorage, I just didn't, it was cold. I don't like being cold. And I was up there, and I was in this hotel with a lion in the lobby. You got to go find a hotel with the lion in the lobby if it's still there. It's obviously a stuffed lion. And I remember being up there by myself, and I was like, man, it's cold. What am I doing up here? I ended up having a great time, though. But I was sitting up there going, God has me here for a reason. It's dark, and it's 9:30 in the morning. What's up with that? And it ended up being a good time. But every time you're someplace doing something, you always want to say, God has me here for a reason to shape me to something. Okay? Joshua had Moses. And they had a lot of things in common. One of which, remember, here's your brain. Watch your brain get this. They were slaves in Egypt. They were both had face-to-face encounters with God. They were both told to take off their shoes because they stood on holy ground. They both saw God. They both parted water in their ministry. What else did I say here? And they both sent spies into the promised land. So they both were slaves in Egypt. They both had face-to-face encounters with God. They both were told by God to take up their shoes because they both were stood on holy ground. They both parted water in their ministry, and they both sent spies into the promised land. So the couple of things that Moses and Joshua had in common, they both were what in Egypt? Say it again.
Slave.
Say it again.
Slave.
They both had what kind of encounter with God?
Face-to-face.
What kind of encounter with God?
Face-to-face.
They both were told to take up their what?
Shoes.
Because they stood on what?
Holy ground.
What kind of ground?
Holy.
They both parted water in their ministry. They both, I tell you the answer. They both parted what in their ministry?
Water.
They both parted what in ministry?
Water.
What letter does Joshua's name start with?
J.
What letter does Jesus' name start with?
J.
What river did Joshua... What river did Joshua part?
Jordan.
What river did Joshua part?
Jordan.
What body of water did Moses part? Everyone say Red Sea.
Red Sea.
Say Red Sea.
Red Sea.
Say Red Sea.
Red Sea.
If you want to see an incredible movie about Moses, go watch The Prince of Egypt. How many of y'all have never seen it? Awesome. You got to go see it. Go to Blockbuster. If they don't have it, tell them they need to get it, and they need to order it and get it to you. It's a cartoon, and Moses is leading the Jews out of Israel, and they had all the Egyptians behind them. They had water in front of them. 2 million Jews, they're crying, what are we going to do? You brought us out here to kill us. And God said, Moses, Moses, lift up your staff. And Moses lifted up his staff. I get goosebumps right thinking about this, and he lifted up his staff, the wind was blowing, the whole sea was in front of him, and he went, bam, and the water went, and there was a wall of water over here, and a wall of water over here, and the Jews are walking through, and the fish are swimming through, and they're like, man, I hope God don't change his mind. It was the ball. That was the Red Sea. That was the what sea?
Red Sea?
That ain't got nothing to do with this sermon, but that was, but Joshua brought his people through the what river? Say it again.
Jordan.
Say it again.
Jordan.
Both Joshua and Moses were what in Egypt?
Slaves.
They both were told to take off their what?
Shoes.
Because they had a what encounter with God?
Faces.
And they were standing on what kind of?
Holy.
What kind of?
Holy.
They both parted what?
Water.
And they both sent what into the promised land?
Fire.
They both sent what into the promised land?
Fire.
Moses saw God in a what kind of bush? Burning.
Burning.
Say it again.
Burning.
Say it again.
Burning.
Say it again.
Burning.
Say it three times.
Joshua
saw God in Joshua chapter 5 as the commander of the armies of the living God. As the what of the armies of the living God?
Commander.
Say it again.
Commander.
Say it again.
Commander.
Say it again.
Commander.
See, I ain't say a word. You knew what to say, okay? Moses lived to 120. Moses lived 3, divine perfection, 40, number of testing. He lived 3 40-year periods. 40 years, he got educated at Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh was, the Egyptian culture was the smartest, most intelligent, educated culture in the planet Earth at the time. Then he killed somebody and was a fugitive for 40 years, and God pasteurized him, made him into a pastor by taking care of sheep. And then at 80 years old, God called him into ministry, and for 40 years, his last 40 years, he led the Jews to the wilderness. At 80, say 80.
80.
That's when he started his ministry. God took 80 years to get him ready. Y'all are 20-something. You still have diapers on. You have so, I'm 40-something. I'm only halfway. Well, a little more than halfway to 80, 47. A little puppy. Okay? God says, I am very patient. I'm not in a rush. 80 years. Okay? Moses, Joshua lived 110. How old was Joshua when he died? How old was Joshua when he died? Say it again. Say it three times. Okay, let's go back to Leviticus. Leviticus took place at Mount what? They walked to the Kadesh Barnea, which was the edge of the promised land. How long did it take them to get to the edge of the promised land from Mount Sinai? Very good. Say 11 days. Say 11 days. Say it louder. They could have gotten to the promised land 11 days. How many spies did Moses send into the promised land? Say it again. 12. Say it again. Say it three times. How many days they spied the promised land? Say it 40. Say 40. 40 is the number of testing. Remember, Goliath talked trash 40 days before David killed him. Moses, Jesus, Elijah all fasted 40 days. It rained 40 days with Noah. 40, 40, 40. Women are pregnant 40 weeks. When you go to the doctor and you... doctor does a little, says, okay, when was your last thing? And you go, and he goes, counts 40 weeks ahead, and that's the birthday. That's how he does it. It's not 9 months, 40 weeks. Why? Because after 40 weeks, the placenta starts to die. Who said die? It's die, right? The placenta starts to die at 40 weeks, and that's where you had the baby. All that stuff is coordinated by God. It's not a coincidence. So 40 is number of testing. So they walk, the 12 spies walk and spied the promised land for 40 days. They come out. How many spies went in?
12.
How many spies went in?
12.
Everyone say it.
12.
How many spies came out?
12.
It's not a trick. How many spies came out?
12.
Out of the 12 spies, how many spies said we should not go in?
10.
How many spies said we should not go in?
10.
How many days they spied the land?
40.
And because all the people said we should go back, God wants out here to kill us. We don't want to go to the promised land. God says, I'm going to make you walk for how many years?
40.
40. 1 year for every day. Listen, they were at the promised land. They could have walked in. You know what God said? Because you didn't trust me, all of y'all are going to die. And he walked them for 40 years, so they all died, except two people. Who are those two people?
Joshua.
Everyone say Joshua and Caleb.
Joshua.
Okay, so how many spies did Moses send in?
12.
How many spies did Moses send in?
12.
Guess how many spies Joshua sent in?
Two.
He said, I ain't going through that again. I'm going to send someone in like me and someone in like Caleb. That's it. Two guys. Okay, both. God gave Joshua Joshua served Moses on the mountain, Mount Sinai. He served Moses in the tent. He was a military leader. He had the same name as Jesus, which means Jehovah saved. And like Jesus, he led his people into the promised land. I'm going to say it again. Joshua served Moses on the mountain, in the tent. He was a military leader. He had the same name as Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. And like Jesus, he led his people into the promised land. Your brain knows what I'm going to ask you. You don't, but your brain does. Joshua served Moses on the what?
Mountain.
Joshua served Moses on the what?
Mountain.
Also in the what?
Tent.
He was what kind of leader?
Military.
He was what kind of leader?
Military.
He was what kind of leader?
Military.
Joshua had the same name as who?
Jesus.
Which means what? Who saves?
Jehovah.
Now, remember, say Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Say Jehovah.
Jehovah.
You remember, Moses walked the people around. Moses represents the law. Moses got the law. He taught the law. He enforced the law. The Old Testament law, do's and don'ts, Ten Commandments, blah, 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 blah. The law doesn't save anybody. And Moses and everybody else died. Joshua, though, brought the people into the promised land. The Bible says no one will be saved by obeying the law. And so Joshua represents Christ because he, by grace, delivered people into the promised land. Moses represents the law. They all died. So when someone says, I'm a good person, you say no one will be justified by obeying the law. You are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest you boast. It's not what I did. It's what God did for me. And so Joshua represents the grace that God got us use to get us into the promised land, spiritual promised land, which would be heaven and being saved. And so Joshua had the same name as who?
Jesus.
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 Joshua, like Jesus, led his people into the what?
Promise.
Joshua, like Jesus, led his people into the what?
Promise.
God told Joshua, he told him, I want you to be strong and courageous. Kazak is a Hebrew word. Say kazak.
Kazak.
Say kazak.
And
I don't want you to fear. Here's why. Your job is going to be difficult. How many of y'all sometimes feel like life is hard? Okay. How many of y'all under 25? Okay. Right now, your life is really easy. You know what I'm saying? They don't know what's going on. Oh, life is so hard. I can't get the sneakers I want. God told Joshua, life's going to get harder because you're going to have 2 million Jews complaining and doing all kind of crazy mess and blaming you. You're going to have all your enemies who you're going to fight trying to kill you, and you're going to be in the middle. But he said, don't fear. I will be with you wherever you go. Fear is F-E-A-R. Spell it.
F-E-A-R.
And it means?
False expectations
fear. One of the services, I didn't say what it meant, and they just started saying it, and I didn't know that was behind me. I was like, man, they remembered that from last time. I felt so good. And then it was like the 2 services later, someone told me it was back there. Okay, so fear means what?
False expectations.
If you are scared of something right now in your life, with a relationship, with a job, with your future, I guarantee you something about what you are fearing is false. Something's false. Maybe you're going to get fired from your job tomorrow. That may be true. But it doesn't mean the other thing you fear, that your life is over or that you're never going to have a good job or that you're never going to be happy. There's something a lie about what you fear. Why? Because the devil cannot tell you the whole truth. So something's not true. And so always know whenever you fear something, something's not true about what I'm fearing, if not most of it. 80% of the things we worry about, I don't know where that stat came from, but let's just run with it while we got it. 80% of stuff you worry about doesn't happen. And the 20% that does, you can't stop it anyway. And out of 20% that does, it's never as bad as you think. And let me tell you something. You know, for us older people in the room, we've been through some stuff in our own personal lives, and it's true. You know, you get ready to lose your job. You got kids getting ready to be born. You got bills. You got this and that. And you're like, how am I going to do this? And God says, you're not. I'm going to do it. And when you have experience of God doing it, you don't worry as much. We have to raise all this money for the building. You think I'm worried about it? And nope. Do I lose sleep over it? Nope. Why? Because God did it before. And we'll get more into that a little later. False expectations appear real. Say it again.
False expectations appear real.
Say it again.
False expectations appear real.
Okay. Whenever you walk with God, God's always going to put you in a situation. If you are faithful to walk with God, he's going to put you in a situation that you need a miracle. God will not, this is not my opinion, this is a fact. He will not, if you faithfully trust him, lead you through a life that does not require miracles. He's going to put you in situations where he has to come through and do something. We call them woo miracles. When you see something, you go, woo. Now, I want you to imagine you're at a Charger game and Sean Merriam blasts somebody and you go,
woo.
Come on now.
Woo.
I need a little more bass. Let's do it one more time.
Woo.
There we go. You go, woo. We serve a God that wants to do stuff where you go, woo. Will miracles require action? Will miracles require action? And the action of the Israelites was they had to step into the water before he parted it. Will miracles require action? And the action of the Jews, they had to step into the water before he parted it. Will miracles always glorify God? Will miracles leave evidence? Evidence. Say it with me now. Woo! Say woo.
Woo
miracles require what?
Action.
Woo miracles require what?
Action.
And the Israelites had to do what?
Step.
Into the what?
Water.
Before God did what?
Water.
Are y'all awake? Something ain't right. Something ain't right. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads for a minute and pray. Lord, thank you. 30 more minutes, 6 services. We're going to do it. I pray you get everybody focused. In Jesus' name, amen. Booty back. Okay, y'all ready? Yes. Yes. Woo, miracles require what?
Action.
And the action's for, hey, now we're talking. The Israelites had to do what?
Yes.
Into the what?
Fire.
Before what?
Fire.
Woo, miracles always do what to God?
Glorify.
They always do what to God?
Glorify.
Any miracle that happens in your life is not for you. Don't take credit. Thank God he let you be there. Don't take credit. Thank God he let you be there. Don't think it was you. Because it wasn't. Even if you pray all night, your prayer is not strong enough to make that happen. God always blesses us beyond what we deserve. It's called grace. So no matter what you do, God always gives you more, which is a good thing. Because if you just do a whole lot, he just does a whole lot plus. Okay? And so womb miracles always glorify who?
God.
Always glorify who?
God.
Always glorify who?
God.
Womb miracles leave what?
Everything.
Say it again.
Everything.
Okay, so when they parted the water, what water did he part with Joshua? What water did he part?
Jordan.
How many tribes walked through?
Jordan.
And their evidence was they took what out of the water?
Jordan.
Very good. We're going to say rocks. That's the name of our church. Say what?
Rocks.
How many rocks?
12.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to do this. You say 12. I'm going to do this. You say rocks.
12 rocks. 12 rocks.
Follow my hands.
12 rocks. 12 rocks. 12 rocks.
Let's do this fast
again.
They walked through the river. They brought the 12 rocks over, and all the 12 tribes said, that rock is representative of my family. My family stood on dry ground in the middle of the river, just like they did in the Red Sea. There is evidence that God did a miracle. We call them stones of remembrance. What stones of remembrance do you have in your life? If you cannot look back on miracles that God did in your life, how are you going to trust him for the miracles ahead? The biggest miracle you could ever have is him changing you, him speaking to you, him revealing himself to you, him using you. He is all about his relationship with you. That is what you were here for. That's what he wants. That's what he cherishes, to have a relationship with you. He does not cherish giving you stuff. That's fine. It's not that he won't, but his big thing is that he wants to have a relationship. He wants to walk with you, talk with you, and comfort you and encourage you. And so if God takes you through this hard trial, at the end of the trial, he wants to sit you down and say, how'd it go? And you're like, God, it was hard, but did you acknowledge, did you see my hand in it? Yes. I'm never going to leave you. So next time you have a trial like this, don't forget I'm never going to leave you. And next time you meet somebody who has a trial, tell them about what you went through. This is what I'm telling you is Christianity 101. Don't be distracted by everything else about Christianity. Learn a lot of information. It's great to learn information. Going to church, great to go to church. But in the end, it is all about walking with God and having a relationship with you, with him. It's all about honoring him and understanding who he is and what he's done in your life. And so when the Jews went through the promised land, the water parted, God said, I want you to pick out one of those rocks because I want you to remember what I did for you. And if you in your life can say, you know what, I was depressed. I broke up with some guy when I was in high school, and it really hurt, but God got me through. So next time you have to go through that, and by the way, next time you feel like you need to break up with somebody, but you're scared because of the pain, you'll do it because you know God will get you through. That's why I was telling you a few minutes ago about the building, money, all the million. I've been through this before, not necessarily with this much money, but it's the same thing. It's just a couple more zeros. It's no big deal to God. Well, a few more zeros. You know what I'm saying? Who's counting? But you know what, though? Oh, what do? We try to do stuff like this. We do what we can, and we go to bed at night and say, okay, God, we'll go to sleep, and my sleep's going to be sweet because you are going to take care of it, just like everything else in your life. And so if you in your mind can say, yeah, God got me through this. God financially met my need. God emotionally met my need. God physically met my need. God did this, God did this, God did this. God's always on time. He's never late. Next time you have a challenge, you go, I got it. David killed Goliath. David said, God delivered the lion and the bear. He must have lived in Alaska. It's Just dawned on me. God delivered me from the lion and the bear. He can deliver me from the Philistine. He had the experience. So I would encourage you all, every time God does something in your life, don't forget it. Don't forget it. Rahab. Everyone say Rahab.
Rahab.
Say Rahab.
Rahab.
Rahab was a harlot who lived on the in the wall in the city of Jericho. She was a woman of faith. She was a harlot. She wasn't a Jew, but she was also named in Hebrews 11, New Testament, as a hero of faith because of her faith. She expressed her faith by hiding and informing the spies. Okay? Rahab lived in the wall, in the city of Jericho, and she was a harlot, and she expressed her faith by hiding and informing the spies. Rahab was a what?
Harlot.
Say it again.
Harlot.
She was a what?
Harlot.
She lived in the what?
Wall.
In the city of what?
Jericho.
City of what?
Jericho.
And she expressed her faith by doing what?
Hiding.
And the spies. How many spies?
Two.
How many spies?
Two.
How many spies?
Two.
I'm hearing two different numbers. Everyone say.
Two.
One, two, three. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were two faithful spies, so therefore Joshua sent in two spies, okay? So he sent two spies in. Okay, the battle strategy at Jericho was they would walk around the city one time a day for 6 days. How many times a day for 6 days?
One.
How many times a day for 6 days?
One.
And then on the seventh day, they walk around seven times. On the seventh day, they walk around how many times?
Seven.
Seventh day, they walk around how many times?
Seven.
Seventh day, they walk around how many times?
Seven.
And then they would blow trumpets, say trumpets.
Seven.
Then they would shout. I want, and when you say shout, I want you to shout it. They would blow trumpets, say trumpets.
Seven.
Then they would what? And then the walls fell down. Say,
walls fell down.
Say it again. They walked around. They walked around the city how many times a day for 6 days?
One.
How many times a day for 6 days?
One.
Then on the seventh day, they walked around how many times?
Seven.
Then on the seventh day, they walked around how many times?
Seven.
And then they blew the.
Trumpet.
And then they.
Shout.
And then the.
Walls fell down.
Now, here's the thing. If you read the book of Revelation, okay? When they walked around the city six times, one time for 6 days, they were supposed to be silent. If you read the book of Revelation, between chapters 6 and 16, they have seven seals, and then at the seventh seal, they had seven trumpets, and at the seventh trumpet, they have seven bowls. Just like seven, on the seventh, you have seven here. In Jericho, God was trying to reclaim the promised land. In Revelation, God's trying to reclaim the earth, land. In Joshua, you have a prostitute, a harlot. You have silence, you have trumpets, you have two spies. In Revelation, you have seven, then a seventh seven, then a seventh seven. You have two witnesses, you have a harlot, you have silence, you have trumpets. Ooh. God is not, it's not an accident. God is coordinated. And in Revelation, you also see 12 tribes. 12 times 12,000, 144,000. Y'all heard that number? Okay. Guess what it comes from? The 12 tribes. So rather than we keep talking about the 12 tribes, it's all through the Bible. To the very end. To the very end. That's why you need to know it, because it's God. He don't waste stuff. Okay? Okay? So let's do Rahab one time. Rahab was a what?
Harlot.
Oh, by the way, Rahab, she was also an ancestor of King David and an ancestor of Jesus Christ, if you read Matthew chapter 1. Jesus Christ had in his ancestry line prostitute, adulterer, murderer, rapist. His David's son raped his half-sister. People who worship idols, idolaters in his family line. Why is that important for us to know? Because he had the same drama we have. And let me take it one step further. If you live when Jesus lived, let's just say you went to high school with him. He went to high school, didn't he? What do you mean you don't know? He was a teenager. He was born. He lived there. He grew up 38, 29 years before he started his ministry. He had to go to junior high, high school. What is the problem? Did he not go to high school? Okay, let me say it this way. Did he go through whatever age educational process all the other teenagers went through? Okay, so we'll go to high school. If you were in high school with Jesus, and he's in your math class taking calculus, he had no books, straight A's, just sat in the book, kind of was just taking care of heavenly stuff on his little iPod thing, and maybe his BlackBerry. Yeah, so yeah, BlackBerry. Okay, Lord, I'm in class right now. Just tell the angels I'll be right there. If you were in Jesus' calculus class, would you believe? Be honest. Bless me, Father, if I'm getting ready to maybe sin. Would you believe that Mary, his mother, got pregnant by God? Think about it. I'm in your high school class, and so who's your dad? Oh yeah, my dad's God. He got my mom pregnant before my mom, and real biological Joseph. That's not my dad. You'd be like, woo-hoo. Are you following what I'm saying? We come in after the fact, okay? We come in after the fact. I'm talking about before the fact. Here's a kid. High school kid, just like you, he may be a little different as far as he's a little more smarter, peaceful. But other than that, I'm serious. You know, he's a nice guy, but he ain't God. He hasn't revealed himself as God yet. He's just a really great kid. And yet he's saying that his mother got pregnant by God. Would you believe that? I wouldn't believe that. And then he turns 30, starts walking on water, raising dead people. I see dead people. And you're like, my bad, I was only kidding. I knew that you was God all the time. The reason I share that with you is because we see Christ from this side of his resurrection and this side of history. But if you go back when you live, you have to understand his experience was not our experience. And you have all his family line. You got regular people in his family line. You got a lot of people in his neighborhood going, come on, Mary, how did you really get pregnant? People don't get pregnant the way you say you got pregnant. And so she had to live with that, her pregnancy, and she had to live with that, you know, whatever. So anyway, Rahab. Rahab lived on a
wall.
Rahab lived on a
wall.
Rahab lived on a
wall.
What city?
Jericho.
And she helped the spies, or she expressed faith by doing what? And the battle strategy was to walk around the city one time a day for how many days?
Six.
One time a day for how many days?
Six.
And on the seventh day, how many times?
Six.
And then they would blow it up. And then they would.
Shout.
And that.
Now,
after they came out of Jericho, they went and fought a city called Ai. Say Ai.
Ai.
Ai starts with an A. This is A for Ai. If I do that. So
Ai.
There was a guy named Achan. Belly aching. His name also started with an A. So this guy named, he stole some stuff, hid it in his tent. So after they left Jericho, they went to this little city called, and they said, we don't need to send a lot of dudes because it's a small city. We just beat Jericho by walking around and shouting. This is going to be easy. So they go up and they get spanked. Say spanked.
Spanked.
Say spanked. They went to what city?
Ai.
And got?
Ai.
And Joshua fell on his face crying, oh God, you're going to leave us, you're going to kill us. And God said, get up off your face. You got sin in the camp. Sin in the camp. You have to know your sin will always find you out. Your sin will always what?
Find you
out. Your sin will always what?
Find you out.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
And stop hiding it then. Who? Boop! Achan had the stuff that he stole it and hid it in the ground. God said, I'm not going to protect you, and that's why you lost. People always say they lost because they got cocky. That's not why they lost. They lost because God removed his blessing. Because there was sin in the camp, and you have to know your sin will always what? So the sinner needs to be confronted. The sinner needs to confess, and the sin needs to be removed. The sinner needs to be confronted, the sinner needs to confess, and the sin needs to be removed. The sinner needs to be what?
Confronted.
Say it again.
Confronted.
Say it again.
Confronted.
And then he needs to what?
Confess.
And the sin needs to be what?
Removed.
There is somebody in your life right now that you, as a responsible Christian, need to confront. Somebody. Now, if I have sin in my life, and I have a friend, when I say a friend, someone who cares about me, that knows it. If he doesn't or she doesn't tell me, they are not my friend. The Bible says that the wounds of a friend are faithful. The bad news of a friend is faithful. I'm trying to help you. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, man, you're so good. Oh, man, you're so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But you know something. How come you don't tell me? It's deceitful. That person is not your friend. They are using you for some reason. They're browsing you for some reason, and they're not being honest with you, and they are allowing you to ruin your life. Now, if you are the person that you know something about somebody and you're not saying it to them, shame on you because you're allowing them to ruin their life. Now, I'm not going to say 100%, even though in my heart I do believe it's 100%, but I think 100% of the time if you confront somebody and you do it right, they will always appreciate it. There's always one person that might not, but in the end they'll know. So I'm going to say 100%. That's my opinion. You could take it and not take it. But I really believe when you say something, listen, I want to tell you this, and this is what I'm observing. I don't know, I could be wrong, whatever, whatever, but I'm just trying to help you out. And you do it in private, you do it in a way not to embarrass them, and you sit them down and you do it biblically, they're going to say thank you sooner or later. So I would challenge you. And by the way, God doesn't waste time. When God tells us to do something, you are going to benefit as well. You will benefit as well because you're going to grow as a Christian just by doing it. You're going to grow as a Christian. Because confrontation is hard. But that don't mean God didn't call us to do it. He did call us to do it. And you just got to do it very lovingly. And so the guy who hid the stuff in his tent, his name was what?
Achan.
Say it again.
Achan.
Say it with confidence.
Achan.
Say it with conviction.
Achan.
And he had sin in the camp. He didn't realize that his sin would always
find him.
Come on, say it now. And the sinner must be, and the sinner must, and the sin must be, the sin must be, say it again while I look for the next thing I'm going to talk about. Very good. The Levites were a tribe. Now let me tell you, the Levites were descendants of who? What are the first four letters in Levites? Levi. So the Levites were the descendants of Levi. They served in the tabernacle. They didn't get an inheritance that they owned. They were servants. They were ministers. There were 48 cities assigned to them. There were 6 cities of refuge. How many cities of refuge?
6.
How many cities of refuge?
6
cities of what?
Refuge.
6 cities of what?
Refuge.
A city of refuge was a place that a manslayer was a man or woman who killed somebody by accident. We call it a manslaughter is a charge. You are guilty of manslaughter. If you're driving down the street and you hit somebody by accident and they die, you could be charged with manslaughter. You didn't do it intentionally, but you still kill them. Comes from the Bible. You know what's interesting about our society? Is that they always talk about get the Bible out, but all our laws and everything that rules right and wrong comes from the Bible. Murder comes from the Bible. The fact that murder is wrong, the fact that lying is wrong, the fact that adultery is wrong, the fact that stealing is wrong, it's all from the Bible. So if we eliminate the Bible, then we have to say all that stuff can't be wrong. Manslaughter, it comes from the Bible. Scapegoat comes from the Bible. Day of Atonement. They had 2 goats. One was the scapegoat, one was the other goat, the sacrifice goat. And so it's ironic how I'm going to go. Anyway, how many cities of refuge?
6.
How many cities of refuge?
6
cities of what?
Refuge.
6 cities of what?
Refuge.
For the who?
Manslayer.
Say it.
Manslayer.
Say it.
Manslayer.
If I'm cutting wood and the head of the axe comes off, flies across the field, hits somebody in the head by accident, he dies, I'm a manslayer. Now, his relative can chase me and kill me. He is the avenger of blood. The avenger of what?
Blood.
The avenger of what?
Blood.
So that means I have to run to the city of refuge faster than he's running after me. Because if he's running faster than I am, he gets me and he can kill me. Okay, so there's 6 cities of what?
Refuge.
6 cities of what?
Refuge.
To protect the who?
Manslayer.
From the avenger of who?
Blood.
Very good. Okay, sit up. Tell the person next to you I'm ready. Ask the person next to you, are they ready? Okay, you ready? Hands up in the air. One more time. One more time. Did I tell y'all last week about light coming off our body? Okay. Biophotonics, that your body produces its own light. Ooh. Bible says we're supposed to be the light of the world. It's literal. They have this, actually, lasers they shine on fruit to see if the fruit, they can measure how healthy the fruit is by how much light is coming off the fruit. And living things give off their own light. It's deep. People give off their own light. That's deep. That's like ocean deep. That's just my opinion. Okay. First five books of the Bible called the? First five books of the Bible called the? Called the? First five books of the Bible are? The three patriarchs in Genesis, three people. One starts with an A.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
You guys are saying it real slow, like Abraham, Isaac. Jacob's name was changed to?
Israel.
Hey, how many sons?
One.
Very good. The fifth book of the Bible starts with a guy's name, starts with a J. What's his name?
Joshua.
Say it again.
Joshua.
Joshua. Say it again.
Joshua
had a mentor. His name starts with an M.
Moses.
His name starts with an M.
Moses.
Both Joshua and Moses were both what in Egypt?
Slaves.
They both had what kind of encounter with God? They both were told to take off their what? Because they stood on what? When Moses saw God, it was what kind of a bush? When God, what kind of a bush? When Joshua saw God, he was the blank of the armies of the living God. What of the armies of the living God? They both parted what? They both sent what into the land? Moses sent how many? Joshua sent how many? Moses sent how many? How many? How many disciples? How many months? How many zodiacs? Joshua died at the age of what? Joshua died at the age of what? Moses died at what? Joshua. Joshua served Moses on the and he was a what kind of leader?
Military.
What kind of leader?
Military.
He had the same name as who?
Jesus.
And means what saves?
Jehovah.
Who saves?
Jehovah.
And like Jesus, he led his people into the
promise.
Like Jesus, he led his people into the
promise.
Joshua was told by God, do not fear, and fear means? That's not really what it means, but it kind of. The Hebrew word for be strong, courageous is?
Kazakh.
Say it again.
Kazakh.
Say Kazakh.
Kazakh.
Say Kazakh.
Kazakh.
When we first, a year or two, or whatever, before we started the church, we were trying to think of a name, and we started out with Rock Kazakh. That's where we got rock from. Anyway, for whatever it means. We serve a what kind of God? That's a roller coaster. This is a fool. I need some bass, fellas. We serve what kind of God?
Woo.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Ah. When God wants to do something in your life, you go, woo. Woo miracles require what?
Action.
Woo miracles require what?
Action.
For the action of the Jews, how to do what?
Set.
In the?
What?
Before God?
Glorify.
Woo miracles all do what to God?
Glorify.
They do what to God?
Glorify.
They also leave what?
Evidence.
And the evidence was? Ah. Ah! Aha! Very good. Hab. Can't even say a whole name. Rahab was a? She lived on the? In what city? And she expressed faith by doing what? And the? How many? The battle strategy, walk around the city how many times a day for 6 days?
One.
How many times a day on the seventh day?
Seven.
Then they blew the, and they,
shot.
And the, then there was a knucklehead, his name started with an A, his calling name was?
Eight.
He was,
eight.
And he hid his stuff in the tent, and because he didn't realize that your sin always,
five.
And therefore he must be,
five.
And,
five.
And the sin must be,
five.
The sin must be,
five.
The sin must be,
five.
Keep saying it,
five.
Say it three times. There are 48 Levitical cities. Six cities of what?
Refuge.
Six cities of what?
Refuge.
Six cities of what?
Refuge.
No, you're right. How many cities of refuge? My brain was like, stop. You're done. The city of refuge was...
Okay, hold on, hold on. Okay, here we go. The city of refuge was to protect the what?
Man-slave.
The who?
Man-slave.
From the avenger of?
Blood.
Give me some hey. Okay. Dos más. Two more things. Who speaks Spanish? How do you say thing? Cosas. Thing. Thing. King. Cosa. Two más cosas. Dos más cosas. Two. I just need to go to bed. Okay. Number one. I challenge you to say this stuff. And anything, you can learn anything this, huh? Your cell phone, ladies, you left something. Anybody else I can help with some direction? Trying to hook you up, okay? You can learn anything through repetition. Some people learn walking around. Some people learn visual. I don't know if I told you that already, but we all have different learning styles, and I would challenge you to learn your learning style and make learning fun. If I have to sit in a classroom and listen to someone talk, I am bored to death. What I have to do is I have to walk around. I can't even sit at my computer for a long time. I sit there for a while, then I have to get up, walk around. I walk in a park. I write. That's how I learn and how I hear God. You have to figure out, how do I learn hear God? But repetition is good for any learner style. And so maybe you need to say it so you can hear it. Maybe you need to read it. But whatever it is, meditate on the things of the Word. Now, so when you leave here and you start turning the radio, and you start turning the TV, and God and the devil starts filling your mind with non-biblical stuff, it's going to be hard to learn this stuff. If you would just take more time your day thinking about this kind of stuff, you think, okay, why would I ever use this stuff? A lot of reasons. You may have someone in your life tomorrow, you may go to school, go to work, and someone, you may come up with an idea. I want to do something. And then become someone in your life and come say, well, I don't know if that's okay, if that's going to work. I don't know if you have the money. I don't know if you have the experience. They're like the 10 spies. They're going to get you killed. Are you following me? The 10 spies said, we shouldn't go into promised land because it's giants. And there's people in your life like that all the time. We can't do that because of this. We can't do that because it's going to cost us money. You're like, wait a minute. When I have a planning meeting, dream meeting, I never want those people in the meeting. Because they're going to do this thing. Well, what about this? What about You can't be in this meeting. I don't want idea people in the meeting. And then we come up with the idea. Then we get those people involved. And they come with the details. And then you don't go to that meeting. Then they kind of figure out how to do it. Everybody has a place. Now, it doesn't mean that those people aren't good. It means they're very necessary, but just not in that meeting. And so if you have ideas and you have people negative, you might say, you know what? Those people are like the 12 spies. And the 12 spies never got to the promised land. So I can't be walking around naysaying everything that God wants to do in my life. Because remember, God is going to call you to do stuff you cannot do. Your whole life. And the more you walk with God and the more closer you get to God, the bigger the challenge. That's just how it is. Daniel was 70-something years old, and God put him in the lion's den. Think about it. He's been through four kings, all these pagan world leaders that he consulted as a Christian man, a God-fearing Jew. And he was godly. The Bible says nothing negative about him. He was a man of faith. And here he is, 70-something years old, getting ready to die. And God says, Daniel, I got one more challenge for you. He says, what? Well, there's a lion's den. I got to put you in there, and the lions are going to go to sleep and not going to eat you. He's like, God, why are why? Haven't I done enough? He's like, if I pick one of the young guys, they're going to drive the lions crazy, and they're going to eat them. You will go to sleep. So just go down there and chill. I'll put the lions to sleep. Everything will be fine. So Daniel, 7 years old, experienced man of God who fake, walks in the thing and says, okay. You need to understand that God, you have to meditate on this stuff day and night. And when God brings you into certain situations, you're going to go, oh, that's like Daniel. That's like the spies. That's like Joshua. That's like Caleb, who was 85 years old. Caleb was 85 years old. Remember Joshua and Caleb went to the promised land? 45 years later, They go 45 years later. He's now 85. He goes back to the same mountain he saw 40 years earlier and says, I want that mountain. And on the mountain were the giants. Hebron is the name of the place. He says, I want it. He held on to it. And so these are the people in the Bible that you have to say, I want to be like that person. I want to learn this from that person. That's how you apply the Bible to your life. And so every day when you're in situations, okay, God, talk to me. I do that all the time. When we design a building, we're having to make decisions constantly about the design of the building, changing stuff. This wall's too high. That we needed this color and that thing, blah, 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 blah. And I just sit there and go, okay, God, what do you want with that wall? What do you want that wall to look like? We're trying to design what's going to go behind me on the stage and the singers. What is that supposed to look like? What is that supposed to do? God, tell us. Because we don't want to do what comes to our mind. We want to do something that's, and trust me. Is going to be the bomb. Number two, I'll leave you with this. As was said earlier, I have a ministry called Miles Ahead Ministries. Miles Ahead, Ahead is not my last name, obviously. We were doing a crusade in Lancaster, California, and I don't remember the name of the group, and I wouldn't say because I don't want to embarrass the young lady who was singing in it, but we were eating dinner, and before she sang, and she says, is your last name Ahead? Talk to the hand. We've had 15 crusades. We have 42,000 kids get saved, and we're having one next weekend. The Katinas will be here, actually, next weekend because they're singing at the crusade. In Hemet, we're having it in Hemet. One, we'd love for you to come, but two, we're going to take not an offering, we're going to have ushers at the door if you want to give financially to support the crusade. 100% of your money will go to the crusade to help these kids get saved. Hemet is one of the meth capitals of California. Everyone claims to be meth capital. It is a serious problem out there. And we're having BMX bikes and all the kind of stuff you were told earlier. I want to show you a video. It's like 3 minutes long. It's very short, about some of the past crusades and testimonies. And if you want to support it financially, you can make checks out to Miles Ahead. Again, it doesn't go to me. Or you can give cash. Now, I might take that. No, I'm kidding. No. It'll all go to the crusade. Now, in this video, when you see this video, you're going to see a whole lot of kids with their hands up. This is a crusade in Calgary, Canada. There were 18,000 kids at the arena. They don't know how many got saved because it was too many for them to deal with. So all the kids you see waving their hands, that is part of the altar call. So this is the kind of stuff that happens. So enjoy the video, and God bless you. And by the way, this is Puff Daddy singing. Listen to the words. I don't get it, but it is.